Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we had started an incident. In the previous times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned an incident, a story of a youngster that when the king had reached, or when there was a magician that was there that had reached an old age, he told the king that I need you to send somebody that can train, a young person that can train under me, so that I can teach him this magic that I do. So the king had identified a certain youngster who had that potential, and on the way, this youngster, when he would go to the king, then there was a monk that would be on the way, so he would sit there and he would benefit from the company of this monk. And then he had a bit of difficulty, because when he would eventually go to the magician was upset that, why are you coming so late? So then the magician would beat him up. So now he came back for Mashura there by the monk. The monk had told him that what you do is tell this magician that your family held you back. And when you eventually go late back to your family, you tell your family the magician held you back. So both ways you'll get saved, but don't tell them that you're coming by me. So like that, daily he would go and he would benefit from the sohbat and company of this monk that was there. So one thing we learn also from this incident is the benefit of a person staying in the sohbat of a pious person. Now this was in the previous times, so therefore it was a monk. It wasn't like what we would normally refer to as some person who had deen Islam in him, but he had that deen that he was following at that time, that acceptable deen that was there at that time. So anyway, this company that he had spent with him, and eventually what had happened was one day that there was an animal that was on the road, and now people were afraid to even travel on that road. So he took a stone and he said that, O Allah, that if the deen of this monk is better, then cause this animal to be killed. And the animal was killed with that. Then he threw the stone and that animal was killed. So then he realized that what he was learning was correct. Now what had happened, slowly he started becoming more and more known. So there was one person that was working for the king. There was one of the king's men, courtiers as we would say, that he was blind, and he went and he got by this youngster, and took a lot of gifts to him also. And now the youngster cured him. So and he told him that, I'm not curing you, Allah Ta'ala is curing you. So now when he went back to the king, this person, this blind person that was cured, so the king told him that this person had cured you. He said, no, he didn't cure me, Allah Ta'ala has cured me. King got extremely upset. So then what had happened was, he had tortured him until he gave away that this person, you know, who this person had told him. So now what had happened was, he called the youth. Again he tortured the youth until the youth had told him, no, he had learned this from the monk. And now he had called the monk. Now in front of all of them, what he did was, he told them, renounce your deen, renounce your religion. But they were firm, they were very, very firm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah, we're not going to renounce our deen. So what he did was, he ordered that saw to be placed on top of the head of his own courtier that was there, who accepted Islam. He cut his head, who accepted deen of that time, and then he cut him from the top into two. And now he ordered who that monk must be cut into two. And now he was doing all this in front of this young boy. But this boy didn't get shaken at all. He didn't want to renounce his deen. So he said, now he knew the value of this boy too. He can't destroy him because he's such a valuable youngster. So let's frighten him. So he told his men to take him up to the highest mountain, and from there you'll throw him. So they took him up to the highest mountain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that mountain to shake. All the king's men had fallen. All the king's men were destroyed, but he had come back. So Allah ta'ala had saved him also from there. So what we learn from here is, staying in the sohbat of the pious is such an important thing. To look from where this boy went, this youth, young boy, to where he went as far as his iman is concerned. So we are at that point of the incident. So the youth returned to the king, and who asked him, what happened to your companions? In other words, what happened to all the other people that went with you to the top of the mountain? He replied, Allah saved me from them. The king then handed him over to another group of his courtiers and said, take him, put him onto a ship, and sail to the middle of the ocean. If he does not renounce his religion, cast him into the ocean. They took him and he supplicated, O Allah, save me from them in whichever way you please. The ship capsized and they were drowned. Look at that. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a powerful dua this youngster had had. Allah ta'ala caused that ship to capsize. Allah ta'ala saved him. And those people that took him to throw him, they had drowned. The youth returned to the king, who asked, what happened to your companions? He replied, Allah Ta'ala saved me from them. The youth then said to the king, you will never be able to kill me unless you do as I say. You do what I tell you to do, then only you will be able to kill me. Look at the iman of this youngster. The king asked, what should I do? He replied, you should assemble all the people on a single plain and suspend me from a tree. You should then take an arrow from my quiver, place it in the center of your bow, and say in the name of Allah, the Lord of this youth, you should then shoot me. If you do so, you will kill me. Now look at what this youngster is thinking about. He's thinking about how now these few people that came to me, how their iman became strong, how they came onto deen. If I could get all the people to come onto deen, how nice that will be. So let me tell this person, this is what you do. Look at how far he's thinking. Call all the people and tell everyone that is there that in the name of the Allah, the name of the Lord of this youngster, I am shooting. So in other words, when they all see this, then all of them will accept iman. Then my kaam is done. My kaam is here to see that how everyone can accept iman. Everyone will accept iman. Then there is no real need for me to be living anymore. Then this person can kill me. So now look, he's telling the king, this is the only way that you can kill me. Now the king also is shocked. All the people went to the top of the mountain. All the soldiers, they couldn't kill him. They were killed. Then these soldiers went and took him in the ocean. They were killed. This boy came back. So now he realized this is the only way I can destroy him. So the king assembled all the people on a single plain. He suspended the youth from a tree, took an arrow from his quiver, placed it in the center of the bow and said, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the youth, he then shot it and struck the youth's temple. The youth placed his hand on his temple and he passed away. On seeing this, the people said, we believe in the Lord of this youth. The king was told by Allah, what you feared has come to pass. The people have brought faith. So the king ordered trenches to be dug on the roads and fires were ignited therein. He then announced, whoever does not renounce his religion will be forcefully cast into the fire or will be ordered to jump in the fire. Imagine what he did now. He dug trenches all over the roads and now he put fire in there and he said, whoever does not renounce his religion, he will be forced to jump into the fire or he will be ordered that you must jump into the fire. They obeyed the order until a woman with an infant came forward. Imagine, they all obeyed. We're not going to renounce our deen, we rather jump into the fire. No problem, but we're not going to give up. Can you imagine what effect that iman of the youngster had on all these people? What iman he must have had. So that everyone started jumping until one woman came and she had a baby with her. So this is what the part of the hadith is mentioning. Until one woman came with an infant, she hesitated to jump into it and the infant said to her, oh my mother, exercise patience for you on the truth. The child now is encouraging the mother that you also go forward. Exercise patience for you are on the truth. So this is where that incident finishes in Muslim Sharif, that all these people accepted iman because of the iman of that youngster. So one thing we learn from this, in fact the ayat of the Quran, we'll just do it just now, but one thing we learn from this is that when you stay in the company, even for a short while, of a person who has got iman, the sohbat, as we would say, that it can move mountains. Yeah, literally the mountains started shaking and Allah Ta'ala saved them. It can capsize ships. Yeah, literally the ships capsized or the ship capsized and Allah Ta'ala saved this person. And this we can see how many people, just by staying in that company for that short while and seeing that incident, this whole nation accepted the iman to such an extent that they were willing to give their lives, but they were not willing to leave that iman. That is what is known as daqata'am al-iman. When the taste of iman enters the heart, the true taste of iman, a person will never ever be willing to let it go, even if his life has to go. I mean, we read normally in Surah Al-Buruj, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ. This is what that ayat is referring to. This incident where the king had ordered those trenches to be dug and now the people to be thrown. So this is what is قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. Accursed are the people of the trenches, those people that had dug the trenches. And it comes that the name of the boy was Abdullah ibn Tamir, and the monk whose company he frequented was a Christian who devoted, he was in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, in that time Christianity was the acceptable deen, like how Judaism, the Jews at that time, they were being guided also. They had their own kitab. So at that time it was correct. At that time the Christianity was correct also, because they were also being guided, not the Christianity that we have today, but the one that was at the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam had come, everything else finished, and now was only the deen of Islam. Everything else was abolished, was only the deen of Islam. Allah Ta'ala give us only tawfiq of making amal and spending a little bit of time whenever we can in good company. Like how a person spends time in good company, he benefits. Like that, when he spends time in bad company, the ill effects also definitely affect the person. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.